This is the first in a series of sermons around the message of the angels. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for angels, your messengers. And we pray today that you would thrill us and excite us with the message of Gabriel to Zechariah, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are great breakthrough moments, aren't there, in history? The invention of the printing press changed everything at that time. The invention of the combustion engine, electricity, the microchip, the discovery of penicillin, of DNA, achieving putting man in space and even to walk on the moon. Breakthrough moments. And there was a breakthrough moment 2,000 years ago, which started the greatest moment in history when the Son of God came to this earth. It didn't look much like a breakthrough moment, because an old man called Zechariah was just leaving his little hill country south of Jerusalem with his wife Elizabeth, making his way up as an elderly priest to the capital, to the temple. It was his turn, because priests every year did 2 weeks at different times, 1 week early in the year, 1 week later in the year, on duty at the temple, doing their bit, praying, helping out where they could. There were 18,000 priests in Israel 2,000 years ago. There were 24 divisions, and Zechariah was from the division of Abijah, and that was number 8 in the pecking order. And he goes up with his wife, and she's got the sandwiches and all the things, you know, and off they trot up to Jerusalem. It's hot, it's dusty, they're elderly, they're probably pretty whacked and tired, they get there. And then it's time to draw lots, because there's a very important role that a priest, if they ever get the chance, only get to have once in their lifetime. And it's to go into the holy place and offer up the incense to God, a symbol of prayer, of thanksgiving, of worship. Only once in your lifetime, and it may never happen. Well, they go up to Jerusalem. They find a little B&B to stay at. They toddle off. The lots are being drawn. And his name comes out of the hat. Zechariah. That's me. But I'm so old, I've never had a moment like this. Well, come on, dear, smart yourself up. You're going in the temple, into the holy place. He wouldn't be alone. 4 other priests would go with him. They'd be doing other jobs. They'd be clearing away the ash from the sacrifices. They'd be lighting the candles or the candlesticks that are there. But then they would withdraw when the priest who puts the incense on the altar where the sacrifices are made for the forgiveness of sin. When he does that, they go. So, Zechariah is chosen. Why Zechariah? Well, it says in verse 6, both of them, he and Elizabeth, were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. These were people, yes, they were old, and they were very ordinary, but they were good, honoring, faithful, godly people. And God wanted to honor them. And I hope this morning we're going to be encouraged that our Almighty God, the creator of the universe, loves the ordinary faithful believer. And that's you and me. He loves to honor us. And they'd not always had it easy. They'd have loved a family, but that wasn't to be. They'd prayed a lot about it, but it wasn't to be their gift. And that happens, and it brings great disappointment. But many childless couples find that they find other avenues of service and of loving and enjoy others' children and nieces and nephews, and they're enriched in other ways and are free to serve the Lord as well without the limitations that children can bring. So Zechariah is chosen. And he goes in to the holy place to offer up the incense. The other four would withdraw. And there he is alone. And yet he's not. Because there's an angel standing right by him. The angel Gabriel. Well, if this wasn't as big enough a moment in his life, this is extraordinary to meet an angel. And you'd think he'd be excited, but he's terrified. When Zechariah saw him, verse 11, he was startled and gripped with fear. He probably thought, I've done so much wrong. You know, God was bound to find out and take it out on me. I've done this, I've done the other. But Gabriel's only got good news for him, as he'll hear. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. I mean, our natural reaction, if we were to meet an angel like that, would be, what have I done? Wouldn't it? In a way, that's almost a natural reaction. And Zechariah was just very human. That's how he felt. But at least it was an attitude of humility. The angel says, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Well, this is extraordinary. God has heard that prayer for a child all these years, and we're pretty elderly. Zechariah's name means God remembers. Isn't that apt? God has remembered. He's remembered that prayer, and he's remembered you. And what does John mean? It means God is gracious in the Hebrew. God is gracious. Isn't that it? Isn't John a gift of grace? And in our lives, haven't we experienced God's grace to us? We don't deserve it. We don't expect it. But God does it anyway. How wonderful. Do not be afraid. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You're to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Not only is he to have a son, but this won't be any ordinary boy. He'll be a joy and a delight. Of course he will. He's going to be Zechariah's son. And he and Elizabeth will love seeing him grow up. But he's told to many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He won't just be a child, but he'll be a child who'll be a special servant of God. I hope Zechariah's heart could take all this. You know, he's an elderly guy in the temple, meeting with an angel. He's told more. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. John is going to be a man of self-discipline, of consecration to God alone. And he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. In the Old Testament, people like Samson and Gideon had the Spirit of the Lord rest upon them for a season, for a job that they needed to do. John was to have it from birth. He was being anointed for a special ministry, for a special time, of which Gabriel is about to say more. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Move forward many years, about 30 years. Here we're in about BC 34 to 32, when King Herod was on the throne. Whiz forward about 30 years to a man in a desert, John the Baptist. One man, and yet the whole of Jerusalem and all the people of Judea were told, all go out to hear him. One man in a desert. Why? Because this man is speaking the words of God. There's been a breakthrough. They haven't heard from a prophet of God for over 400 years. And there's one man in the desert called John who's speaking in a way no one has spoken for centuries. We've got to go. We've got to hear this man. And what is he saying? Be baptized as a mark of your forgiveness before God, because you need it. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And don't we need people like that in Australia today? Bringing back a nation to their God. What a remarkable answer to prayer. We prayed on Tuesday, didn't we? That bill would be defeated in the Victoria Parliament, in the Legislative Council. Do you know the result? 19 for, 19 against. And because it was an attempt to change the law, the existing law stayed, and there is freedom of religion in schools, churches, and Christian agencies to appoint Christians onto staff teams. Now, events may change in the coming years, but what an answer to prayer and a continuing opportunity for God to work in this nation. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We read in Luke chapter 3, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Verse 17 in our chapter, he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents of their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He is to be a forerunner, to go before the promised Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. John is that messenger promised over 400 years before. Luke writes in Luke 3:4, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And how will he make the straight paths? In the spirit and power of Elijah. The great Elijah who, through God's power, raised a widow's dead son to life, who caused a mighty fire to be lit with just a prayer to his God, and who brought back a nation to their God. It's through Malachi that God declares, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." John's ministry will be to restore relationships, families at enmity with each other, people at enmity, people ignoring their God. Well, John will be in that desert, and hundreds will come out to him because they are hungry and thirsty for God in their lives. And he speaks to them, and he prepares them. They're to be a people prepared for the Lord. You're here today because I have no doubt that at some time in your life, someone prepared you for the Lord. Someone talked to you about Jesus. Someone prayed for you for years to know him. And maybe it took many years until you responded to that prayer. But as we've heard with Zechariah, the prayer of a long time can be answered the way we would like. We don't just become Christians like that. We are prepared. There was no way the Son of God, Jesus, when he came to perform his ministry, was going to have the impact required without John the Baptist. Crowds flocked to Jesus. There was the feeding of the 5,000. There was the fascination with his miracles. There was Palm Sunday and all the tribute and joy and shouting and singing on that day. They loved him. They adored him. Yes, we know of Easter. And we know what happened on that weekend of Good Friday. And he was rejected and he was nailed to a cross. We know that was part of the bigger plan of salvation. But we know that he rose again and ascended to heaven. And on the day that the Spirit came, 3,000 men and women became Christians in Jerusalem when Peter preached. They'd been prepared. They knew as they looked back, yeah, I heard Jesus. And I was there in Jerusalem saying, crucify him. What was I thinking? I was one of the ones who ate the bread and the fish at the big picnic. I want to follow him. John the Baptist, Jesus' ministry, they were a people prepared. And you know what? With just 12 that became 11 and then Matthias joined in, also elected by lot, they changed the world by God's power under God's great plan of salvation. They'd been prepared. They responded. What about Zechariah's response? Well, it's not quite what we'd expect. Zechariah asked the angel, how could I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years. Good thing that Elizabeth was out of earshot. He said, come on, I'm old. I mean, I'm past all this. We can't cope with all that. And you must have got it wrong. You know, the prayer might have got stuck in the chain in heaven or something. And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Did Zechariah have any idea who was talking to? This was Gabriel. There are seven named angels in Scripture. He's one of them. And where's he going next? He's going hot foot to Nazareth to talk to a young lady called Mary. This is a very special messenger of God who says to Zechariah, I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. He's come from the glory of heaven just to speak to Zechariah. Isn't God gracious? And now you will be silent. There's a rebuke for Zechariah's unbelief. And you'll not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. You can imagine Zechariah was bursting to want to tell everybody when he came out of the temple, but he couldn't. Well, you should have believed me the first time, shouldn't you, pal? That's your mistake. Couldn't say a word. They were wondering what was happening to him. He'd been in there a long time, and they always said in the ancient world that, you know, if you're in God's presence for too long, it can be dangerous, you know. And with it, given his age, maybe something has happened to him and we need the defibrillator out, you know. But eventually, he does come out. The others were all praying. That was the custom. As the priest offers the incense in the holy place and the other priests withdraw, everyone outside is at prayer. And when he came out, they were expecting him maybe to say something and why he'd taken so long. But they could clearly see he couldn't speak and he was gesticulating. But they also realized he'd had a vision of God. Maybe his countenance just sort of, just the surprise and the look. When he came out, he could not speak. They realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. Well, what a moment for Zechariah. He should have trusted Gabriel's credentials. I hope we would have. As an angel of the Lord, how would we have reacted? He wanted a sign. Well, he got one. You're not going to speak. Not the one he wanted, probably. He missed the opportunity to rejoice and believe, didn't he? I mean, there he was. This was his great red letter day. I'm in the holy place. I've been drawn by lot. I'm at the end of my days. I'm going to be a dad. And yet, he doesn't rejoice in it all. Well, how's that going to be possible at my age, you know? I mean, what a misery. A realist, but a misery. How quick are we to doubt God's word, the written word to us in the scriptures? Our life experience is telling us one thing and say, well, God can't do that or God isn't like that. Yes, he is, and he is. He's a God of his word, as Zechariah discovered. And if this promise was kept, which it was, then we know full well we can have confidence that the big part of the promise is going to be kept. That the forerunner who paves the way is going to be giving way to the one who is the way, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Zechariah's God was too small. Is our God too small? God can do the impossible. It was a wonderful message of good news. Zechariah didn't quite believe it. Do you remember Sarah and Abraham? They were told they were going to have a baby. Abraham overheard God tell Abraham about it. She heard and she laughed. And God saw her and said, why did you laugh? You don't think I can do this, do you? And God said to her, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Maybe you're in a place where you really feel something is too hard for God. Maybe it won't be the way, it won't be answered in the way you would like. But surely we're to trust, as people of the Word of God and people who know the love of God, that nothing is too hard for Him, and to trust Him. Well, when his time of service was completed, Zechariah returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. Maybe for the baby's safety, for this 5 months, best not to move around too much, especially at her age. She didn't want to lose the baby. Maybe she just wanted some privacy. Maybe she just wanted to reflect on who this baby was going to be and all that God had done. She just wanted to pray and praise, and or maybe it was just a combination of all three: safety, privacy, and reflection. Because what a wonderful moment for her and for Zechariah. And she knows it, and she knows who's made it possible. Zechariah couldn't tell her. He had to obviously write it all down. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And Zechariah, on the day that John is circumcised, having been born, and they're going to name him Zechariah, because boys were always named after their fathers, it seems, that custom, that time. And Elizabeth knows that he's to be called John, because Zechariah's written that down to her. He's to be called John. And they're saying, no, you got it wrong, Elizabeth. It can't be John. It must be Zechariah, like his dad there. And Zechariah gets out a tablet and he writes, no, his name is John. And then he can speak. And then he praises the Lord and he sings his song. And he says of John, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. So what do we learn? We learn that God cannot leave the people he made and loves out of relationship with him. Yes, silence for over 400 years, but God is coming and God is going to honor his promise to bring a people to himself. John will pave the way for Jesus, who is the way. We also learn that God takes very ordinary people and uses them in spite of all their fallenness and weakness. Think of Simon Peter, the one who preached that sermon at Pentecost, was the one who denied knowing Jesus 3 times to a little servant girl. Jesus takes the broken and the seemingly useless earthen vessels of life, that's you and me, so his glory can be revealed. We learn that God can be trusted. Zechariah just wouldn't believe Gabriel. But Gabriel was telling the truth. And John the Baptist was part of the great plan to prepare a people who need to be ready. Hundreds came out to hear him, but one day, having told the people, I'm not worthy to untie the sandals of the one who comes after me, he sees that one and says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So God takes people like you and me and uses us for his glory, gives us remarkable privileges to serve him, answers prayers we thought were never possible. There's a little girl now in Moana David's life called Lucy Evelyn, an answer to prayer. John was an answer to the prayers of Zechariah and Elizabeth and to the prayers of a nation. Let's pray for God to do a work in our hearts and lives and in the hearts of the people of this country. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sovereign power, for your plan of salvation to send John as the forerunner to Jesus. We thank you for all that you did through John in preparing the people for the Savior. Lord, would you make us a ready people to tell others of your love? Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Equip us for every good work, for your glorious sake. Amen.